Good morning, church. A great joy once again to be with you this day of the Lord. Please keep your Bibles open in Genesis 16 and another psalm in Genesis 21, which is why we read both chapters this morning. I'll be preaching from Genesis 16 and Genesis 21. I know that's not the norm whereby I go through big chunk of scripture. And the title of the message this morning, God's perspective on the human life. God's perspective on the human life. We want to know how God looks at the human life. Let us then bow in prayer. Faithful Father, our wonderful God, we are thankful, our Messiah, for giving us this opportunity even this morning to come before your people. As for me, O God, a weak and helpless man, but to preach the gospel of truth, whereby you make me strong. Continue to use me, O God. Use my mouth of clay to communicate the good news of the kingdom of God. Open the ears of your people as well to listen to this authentic word of God as it is read before them and expounded before them, applied before them. We ask all this in the name of your Son. Visit us, O God, by your grace and mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, the human life seems to be of little value in our society today. There is an escalating number of suicides, murder, careless driving, abortion, genocides, and so on. It is easy these days to pick up a gun or a knife and take someone else's life. It is easy to take life done to protect life. It is easy to kill an unborn baby and come back to sue someone who has just killed your dog by accident. That is the world we're living in. You turn on your television, your television, you look at the headlines. If it's not politics, it is all about murder. It is all about genocides and people who are hungry, helpless people, and so on and so on. And don't get me wrong, all that is important in our day and time. But you ask yourself the question, where is the news about the countless number, the thousands and the thousands upon thousands of unborn children slaughtered each and every day by permission of their ungodly parents? You ask yourself, but you never find the answer. Things continue to happen in that way, regardless of God's perspective on human life, regardless of God's perspective on the sanctity of life, the holiness of life. That is the world we live in today. So we come to the book of Genesis, the book of the beginnings. The book of Genesis is a book that helps us to understand that the human life is more important. It is a book that helps us to understand that human beings are unique among all of God's creation for the fact that they bear the image of God. That's what makes a human being different and special before God. This morning we look at the story of Ishmael. We look at the story of Ishmael, a story so relevant to our day and time. A story of a family that is divided. A family that gets to be divided by a child who is already in the womb. A story of adultery. A story of little faith. A story of compromise. A story of unbelief. A story of rejection. A story of a baby coming into the world already unwanted and facing death before the baby is born. A story of a baby who represents so many unborn babies in our country who face death before they even see the light of the sun. A story of a child who grows up and is left there to wander and to die alone in the wilderness. A true representation of our life today. A symbol of many children abandoned
in our country today so that the parents will not be inconvenienced, so that the parents will continue to live and enjoy their lives in this world.
But also a story of an unwanted pregnant woman. In chapter number 16, Abraham and Sarai fall into the sin of impatience with God, and consequently they involve their slave woman Hagar in a sin of fornication with Abraham. They took the law into their own hands, as it were, and trouble followed them, my friends. And that is what happens, church, when man begins to play God. Trouble follows them. Hagar became pregnant, and soon she began to scorn Sarai, the wife of Abraham. It's like you can see her cleaning in the kitchen, or washing dishes, speaking behind her ear, "I can get pregnant. You cannot. I am bringing a child in the world, but you cannot." Scoffing, mocking. But that attitude, such bad attitude, caused her peace and a place to stay. Sarai began to treat Hagar very harshly, as the Bible tells us. She treated her so harshly to the point that Hagar fled. And on her way back to Egypt, she's fleeing back to where she came from. And on her way to Egypt, she was met by the angel of the Lord. We'll look at that. And later on, the same thing happens. She gets kicked out of the home with the child, and the very same angel of the Lord met her. As she was wandering and vulnerable in the wilderness, God was there. That is what I want to prove to you this morning, that God is always there. So this morning, there are three important facts I want you to notice on this subject. Firstly, it is that God values a conceived baby. When we speak of a conceived baby, we're speaking of a baby in the womb, not a child that is already in the palm of the hand. God values a conceived baby. Let us read verse 10 and verse 11 of Genesis 16. The Bible says, "The angel of the Lord also said to her, 'I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude.' And the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Behold, you are pregnant, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction.'" According to the angel, dear friends, there is already a child in her womb. According to the angel, there is already something of great value before God carried in that womb. So, and we see here that before she could even give birth, God knows that the child or the baby in the womb is a boy. God already knows that before she gives birth, just to prove to us that what is in her womb is a living being. God cares. And you can see that his heart is upon this rejected unborn baby, revealing to us that life does not begin at birth, friends. That is the mistake that we always think. Life does not begin at birth. As the child is born and is crying for the first time, that is not where life begins. We see here that life begins in the womb at conception. So regardless of what people say, God is the author of life. He breathed on Adam's nostrils. And the Bible tells us that Adam became a living being. And now from that moment onwards, from the moment of conception in that womb, in that second of conception, God makes us in the image of God with a specific purpose to fulfill in this life. The angel says to Hagar, "You may not be holding a child in the palm of your hands, but I want to assure you that we are carrying a baby within you. We are carrying a human with a future set before him." And Hagar, friends, actually believed that. That is the reason why Hagar scorned Sarai, because she knew she was carrying a living being in her womb.
but the situation forced her to put the baby's life in danger. And God saw that situation. God will not allow the unborn child to be in danger. He will not allow what is in the womb to be lost because of the sin of the parents. I need to repeat that. God does not allow what is in the womb to be lost because of the sins of the parents. Which is why in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, God is speaking to Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you, I knew what the purpose was. I formed you just to set you in motion to the end goal." That is what God is saying here. So friends, before a person is born, God already has a plan for that particular person. And we see that in our text as well. The Bible says in verse number 12, God blessed Ishmael. He's blessing a child or a baby that is not yet born. A baby that no one could even actually see that the woman is pregnant. Nobody could see that. She only knew she was pregnant. And she told her mistress that she was pregnant. Probably the child or the baby was this size. They know from this size that they are pregnant. Am I right? She knew she was. But look how little the baby is. Yet God was willing to care for that little child. You can take that there, my baby. There we see God blessing Ishmael in verse number 12. While he's still in the womb, he says, he's telling Hagar, "He shall be a wild donkey of a man. His hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against his kinsmen." It may not look like a blessing to you, but this is a blessing. God says, this child will be a great man. Regardless of how that greatness comes in, that greatness will serve a greater purpose in the revelation of God's salvation into the world. He will be a great man. Listen to what Psalm 139 says, verse 13 to 14. If you are writing down, listen to the praises and the thanksgiving of the psalmist. Actually, God speaking through the psalmist. By inspiration, the psalmist says, "For you formed my inward parts, united me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O God. My soul knows it well." The psalmist is praising God, saying, "United me in the womb of my mother." God does not only see what is in the womb, my friend. God knows what is in the womb because God has put it there. He formed it in the womb. So he took his time and joined together the little baby in the womb. So said the psalmist, piece by piece. And for that reason, the unborn baby's heart beat, the heartbeat of that little baby, owes its allegiance to God. The unborn baby's breathing lung owes its vision to God as well. Even the kidney and the brain is owed to God. That is why then, friend, God values that life. There is something of himself in every one of them. They are made in the image of God. They are like a snapshot, if you will, a snapshot of God. As they grow older, you will realize they become creative like God. They become spiritual as God is spiritual. They become intelligent. They become relational. They relate to one another like God relates to himself, his Son, the Holy Spirit, and God. One God relating to himself. People relate to one another. They are in the image of God. And God cares about that. And that is the message he sends through this angel of the Lord to Hagar. That there is life present in her womb already. A life that Hagar will have to keep. A life that Hagar will have to love and cherish and value and protect. A life that she will have to guard with all her life, as it were. A life to be protected. And friends, there are many Ishmaels out there. Children who are conceived and immediately they are labeled as inconvenience. They are inconvenienced to this joy ride of life, the sinful roller coaster of this world. There are so many Ishmaels who are not wanted in this world. Ishmaels to get rid of as a solution to adultery and fornication. They think it's a solution to get rid of an unborn baby. But God says, getting rid of an unborn baby is not a solution. Sarai has no right to get rid of Hagar, who's carrying an unborn child, that she may go and wander in the wilderness, perhaps put the life of the child in danger. She had no right. The angel of the Lord says to Haggai, return to your mistress. Go back to safety. Go where the child will be taken care of. Go back. Submit yourself in verse number 9. Because there is a 99% chance that you don't even make it to Egypt. Or even if you make it to Egypt, there is a 99% chance that the child may die along the way. And I will not allow that. The child may die. You cannot be wandering around in the wilderness while there's life involved. There's a life within your womb. If the child is not safe, return to safety. So says the Lord, our God, through this angel of God. So friends, God sees the life in the womb, a life that deserves protection, a life that deserves parenting. He sees it while it's in the womb. And of course you will say, people say, I have been suffering. Of course you have been suffering. Of course your future seems to be dark, and there are many questions of legitimate concern. God understands that. However, the life in the womb is valuable before God, worth of keeping. Return to safety, says the Lord. The question is, friends, why is this child now unwanted? Because this was planned. Remember as we were reading? This was planned. It was Sarai who went to Abram and says, this is a plan that I have. If you will do this, perhaps I will have an heir. So now the child is unwanted. Why is the child unwanted when it was planned? Nobody conceived a child without planning for it. You might not plan for it practically, but the moment you engage yourself in sexual relationship, you are, because it's created by God that things will produce after their own kind. What was your plan? What was your plan? That's what we see here. The baby is not wanted now. The baby is unwanted because people have compromised God's law. People have compromised God's principle. Because Sarai became impatient. Because Hagar became a family problem. Because Abraham was faithless and an adulterer. He was an irresponsible man. We have plenty of those in our days. Irresponsible fathers. The child or the baby is unwanted because an unmarried woman got pregnant by a man, not her husband. That is the norm. That is what we see today. A baby must be aborted because an unmarried woman got pregnant, or a married woman thinks that the baby is going to inconvenience her life, or else the man is nowhere to be found anymore. That's why the children are aborted, the babies are aborted. The man is nowhere to be found. Just like Abraham is nowhere to be found in this matter. I don't hear him say, I understand your concerns, Sarai, but what about my child? What about the baby in the womb? I don't hear him. And Sarai says, I cannot take this anymore. The man is nowhere to be found. Man is guilty as charged as well. And friends, as men fail to take responsibility at the end of the day, when it is all being said and done, they put the little life of the little baby in danger. Now they must harm
the little baby in the womb. So friends, we must value the unborn baby's life, because from the moment of conception, they have a soul. So abortion may be legal in this country, but it is against God's law. Abortion is murder. We must put that straight and simple. Abortion is murder. As Dizel was presenting here, we heard that this country do allow, this country legalized abortion. Doesn't matter. In the eyes of the Lord, abortion is murder. So as Christians, we must not be like Sarai and Abraham, who did not care about the little life that was in the womb of Hagar. We must work hard and use our influence to try and make life better for these babies. We cannot just spend time and money to fight for animal rights. That is good, but we cannot spend our energy there and make no effort to fight for human life. Life made in the image of God. Isaiah 44 verse 24. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. Where did he form you? From the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretch out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. Who formed? God. Where? In the womb. God formed the baby in the womb. And of course, friends, there will always be danger facing the unborn. But I can tell you this. It is a shame to hear people say to conceive was a mistake. Then because it was a mistake, the baby deserved to die. It is a shame. Because before God's eyes, God formed. It was not you forming. You were involved in what I would say, secondary way of being involved. But primarily, it is God who formed the child. Verse number 13 says, He is the God who sees. God who sees. And I can tell you, friends, children are a blessing, not a burden. You can hear as God, through His angel, speaks to Hagar. This child is a blessing, not a burden. No way we will treat, will allow people to consider children a burden. They are not a burden. Of course, fornication is sin. Of course, adultery is sin. Of course, self-centeredness is sin. But the life of a baby in the womb is a life worthy to protect, a life worthy to care for, a life worthy to love. Turn back. That was the message. Don't let harm come upon this baby. Why? Because I value the life that is conceived. God values the life that is conceived. But not only do God value the life that is conceived, secondly, God actually values the life of the pregnant woman. In most cases, we don't think about that. In most cases, the women don't think about it. They don't think of their lives. They think it's all about what they will be doing. What about your life? God values the life of the pregnant woman. God cares about the rejected pregnant woman. We look at verse 7 to verse 8. Verse 7 to verse 8. The angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur, that is the spring on the way to Egypt. And he said to her, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai. Friends, here is Hagar, a woman who involved herself in a relationship which God never intended. Here is she, wandering in the wilderness, yet God is out looking for her. Please note, God is out looking for a sinful woman who involved herself in a sinful relationship, breaking family peace, if you will. Here is God looking after her to protect her life as well. We see a gracious God seeking and caring for the unwanted pregnant woman. Remember, she's no longer wanted in the home because she's got a big mouth, if you will.
She's no longer allowed. There may be many reasons why the women get kicked out in the home. But God is there. Even today, my friend, God is seeking and is caring for a pregnant woman who have become careless with her life. A pregnant woman carrying an unwanted baby in her womb, maybe because of rape. The baby is unwanted, but God is there caring for that stressful woman running around the streets looking for help, as it were. But actually not looking for help, looking for a shortcut. God cares for her life as well. God has a message for her. God is saying to her, life is not over yet. There is a future for you through the very same child we are trying to put to death, or the very same life we are endangering. There is a future for you. That is what we are reading here. In verse number 8, you see that the angel knew everything about Hagar. This is a very important point, friends. The angel knew everything about Hagar, telling you that God knows everything about us. The angel identified Hagar by name and by the name of her mistress, Sarai. But yet, the angel continued to ask, where have you come from and where are you going? The angel knows, but he still poses questions, and you need to ask, why do you know my name and know where I come from, actually, but you're still asking me? There's a reason why the angel is asking, and I want you to learn from that. The question that tells us that God actually cares and is willing to listen to our sad stories, my friends. God cares, He's willing to listen to our sad stories. He wanted Hagar to say what was troubling her. He is ready to touch your hurting heart. That is our God. All that you need to do is to tell Him your story. Tell God your story. If there is no one to listen, tell God your story. Praise be to God. He has made men and women available where you can tell them, where you will come and tell them your story, which is what we see today. Tell them your story. Tell God your story. He is willing to listen to you. He does not ask because He needs information from your past. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows everything. But He's asking because He wants to know if you have a plan. Because He has a plan for you which you do not know about. Friends, you will have to sit under the ministry of the Word of God, so that God may address your story. You will have to sit under the counsel of God's word, so that you have an idea of God's plan for you. From there onwards, you will have a clear direction. He wants you to say, what is your problem? Are you willing to say? In every matter of life, regardless of what we're talking about, are you willing to tell God what is troubling you? That is what He's trying to do here. Because your life is worth a blessing as well. Have you considered that? Your life is worth a blessing as well. Only if you remain with the covenant people of God. Hagar ran away from the covenant people of God. Here is the angel telling her to go back, because her life is worth a blessing. I will bless this child, and I will bless you through the child. Your life that is unwanted and rejected even today is worth a blessing before God. He wants to give you a solution, a godly solution to your ungodly problems and ungodly situation of this life. He wants to give you a godly solution. So friends, in times of distress and turmoil, in times of despair and perplexity, you need God's word. You need God's counsel. You need God's comforting truth, even when it hurts. Sometimes it hurts when God tells you the truth. He said, return back to your mistress. Go back to the supposedly trouble that you are running away from. Go back and keep the child. Return. The call here is that we must return to our masters as well. We have one master, the Lord Jesus Christ. we must return to him. We must cry to him. Even the pregnant woman out there needs to return to safety. And that safety is in the palm of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is the life of the unborn person is important, but the life of the mother as well. She needs to make a 180 degree turn. She needed to repent. That is the word return here. Because she sinned before God. She slept with a man, not her husband. She left her mistress without permission. That is sin as well. But God heard her cry, the Bible tells us. God heard her groaning of the heart. And God was there for her. He was there in the time of her need. Because God loves the child that is unborn, but also he loves the woman carrying the very same child. Even today, friends, God loves the woman who have aborted their babies. For God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten son to die on the cross for all sins, even the sin of abortion. And if you come to him in faith and repentance, there you will find true love. There you will find a true meaning of life. And church, this message is also for the multitude of men out there. Men who have pushed their wives or their girlfriends to commit this sin. It is a message for them. There is hope. God cares for your life. You are not beyond help. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to confess your sin to him. You need to turn from your wicked ways and you will find peace. If you turn from your wicked ways, you will find peace. In verse 13, Hagar says, this is God who sees. A God who looks after the unwanted pregnant woman. Hagar says, God sees. She sees the unwanted pregnant woman. He is the God who sees all things. He even sees our sin. Hagar's sin as well, as I was telling you. She did not have a pure heart before God. And God saw that. And by grace, God had pity on this sinner. God had pity on a sinner who was on the bottom of the food chain in the society, as it were. A sinner who was abused and rejected. God saw her, and the Bible says, God listened to her cry. So no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter who has done whatever they've done to you, God sees, God hears. He hears the cry of those who cry to him in faith and repentance. And he forgives their sin. So put your trust in the God who sees. Put your life in the hands of a faithful God. The angel commands Hagar to return. What does that tell you? We have, as I was saying, we have someone to return to. You are reminded that there is a moral lawgiver in the universe. You are not belonging to yourself. You are responsible and accountable to God. No one lives freely and not responsible to God. There is a supreme being that we are accountable to. And another thing that we learn here, that word return, can also teach us that you need to speak to someone. Hagar was alone. She had to return back. You must speak to someone. You cannot just run around and run away from the covenant people of God, even though at times the covenant people of God may sin and not accept you. But there is no way that you can find help outside the covenant people of God. Help will always come from God and his covenant people. Help is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help is in Christ himself. So you cannot run away from your problems by death. Because God has a better plan for you. God has a better plan for you. Return. Regardless of who impregnated you, return to God. Regardless who has caused you sorrow and pain, return to God. But thirdly, not only does God values the life of the conceived and the life of the pregnant woman, God values all human life. Hagar returned to Sarai, but 14 years later, she was kicked out of the house with Ishmael. We see that in Genesis 21. The same story continues. Let me read for you from verse 9 to 13. The Bible says, "But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, who she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, 'Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac.' And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on the account of his son. But God said to Abraham, 'Be not displeased because of this boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named, and I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring.'" I want you to notice here, friends, because it is easy to think that God only cares about the baby and the woman, but not life in general. I want you to notice here, Hagar is no longer pregnant. That is very important. Hagar is no longer pregnant. Ishmael is no longer in the womb. He is old, and now he's chased out of Abraham's house. He's chased out again, and this time it is Ishmael's fault. The Bible tells us that he made fun of Isaac, and Sarah saw Ishmael mocking Isaac, and he sent him off with her mom. There they go, with just enough water and food for a few days. But in the verses that I just read to you, verse 9 and 13, I want you to realize that God actually appeared to Abraham and promised him beforehand that God will take care of Ishmael. God had a plan for this boy, because life is valuable to God. I want you to see that. The Bible says then, in the wilderness, they ended up in the wilderness, and on their way to Egypt, they were without food, and Hagar thought there the death of the boy was the next big thing to happen. She put the boy far from her, as we are reading from scripture, far from her to die. As though there is a time in this life, friends, where a human being can decide when life is not worth living. Here is Hagar putting far the child, so that the child will die. Verse 16. "Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way afar, about the distance of a bow. For she said," this is about her actually, not about the boy, "me, myself, and I, let me not look on the death of the child." As she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. A few things we need to notice here. It's about Hagar. Here is a woman giving up her child to death because of confusion and helplessness. She's giving up a child to death. Yes, the Bible says her heart was troubled. She lifted up her voice and wept. But we need to learn from that, friends, that there is no time in this life where the death of a human being can give you peace of mind. She thought she will have peace of mind. There is no way where the death of a human being, however old the person is, that death can give you peace of mind. There is no time in this life where the end of someone else's life is an open door to new opportunities, an open door to a new life. There is no way. There is no way in this time, my friends, where the life of someone else can set you free from guilt, from the pain of loss. She thinks she's feeling so much pain because the boy is alive and starving. If this boy will die, I will not have the pain. There is no way that the death of someone else can save you from whatever pain you are suffering, whatever loss we have suffered. No way. So we must be reminded, friends, God alone reserves the right to end a human life. No one else. God alone reserves the right to end a human life. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. "The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to show when and he raises up. So friends, if God has not decided to kill, no one has the right to kill. You cannot, and we cannot give up on life. I'm not talking about people who have killed in the line of duty. That's a different subject. I'm talking about people who just think it is good to just take someone else's life. We cannot give up on life, friends. The Bible says God heard from heaven. But I want you to notice, what did God hear from heaven? As this woman Hagar lifted up her voice and cried. The Bible doesn't say she was praying. She was just wailing and crying. God heard from heaven. God heard the voice of the boy. And the voice of the boy is not mentioned that the boy was actually crying. But God heard the voice of the boy. The boy in danger of death through negligence from the mother. God heard the voice of the boy. But also, he heard the troubled beating heart of Hagar. Because perhaps Hagar was also going to die. God heard both of them. And he says to her, "Fear not." What an encouragement, my friend. Where there's no one to encourage you, there's that little voice saying, "Fear not, I am with you. I am God. Fear not." God came into the life of these two helpless people. People who preferred death to life. God came and intervened. He will not allow them to die. Here is God writing a new chapter. He's writing a new chapter in the life of the unwanted, my friends. He's turning a story of death and helplessness to a story of life and gladness. God, because all human life is valuable before Him, it is a gift from God. He says to Hagar, "Rise up. You are still responsible for the life of that boy. Don't let the innocent blood of the child and your blood cry up to me from the ground like the blood of Abel. I don't want death." Life, friends, is valuable before God. And you can see here, as I'm expounding this last point, that actually, sanctity of life does not only speak of the unborn. Not only the unborn, but life in general. Life is precious. It doesn't mean we're going to keep babies so that they are born and later on we're going to slaughter them through crime. We're going to kill one another. No. Life in general. We must all treat life the way God treats life. Which is why we have that sixth commandment. Thou shall not kill. A call to care about life in general. So when a person is cut out of your sight, when a person is killed, it does not mean that he's cut out of God's sight. It does not mean that he's cut out of your mind as well. Someone's death will always haunt you, my friends, because life is not yours to take. Someone's death will haunt you. Go to any person you've ever killed. He will tell you, someone's life will always haunt you. Not because the person is alive and is chasing after you. That guilt. How are you going to get rid of the guilt? God says to Cain, Genesis 4 verse 10. "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." And from that reason, from that moment onward, Cain began to wander in the world. The guilt and the punishment of God that was upon him. Life is important, friends. So if life is important, will you pop up pills and take drugs and endanger your life? Will you do that? Will you go around trying to commit suicide? If life is important, will you have the guts to murder someone else and steal his life away? Will you drive carelessly on the road so to put other people's life in danger? If life is really important, church, it is sin not to care about the human life. And such sin will drive you straight into the jaws of hell for not caring for a human life. But praise to be God, our Lord, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who sent His Son into the world full of life, full of love, full of compassion, full of mercy, full of truth, full of grace. That He will come here to a worthless situation, to a worthless world, to a worthless people. That he will come and strip himself of his glory and condescend into this world to save a wretched people like me and you, and teach us to care about life, because he cared about life. If you don't know that he cares about life, look at the cross. There he died for many lives, because he cares for life. He came into this world to teach us to care, to turn the unworthy people to a worthy people of God, to turn people from the garbage of sin into the marvelous light of God, to give us life. He came into this life. He lifted us up. He took away our sin, and he crowned us with steadfast love. He gave us heaven and took away our hell. He gave us joy and took away our sorrow. He gave us life and took away our death. He gave us peace and took away our shame. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the wrath so that me and you can stand forgiven at the cross. That is why here we see Hagar meeting a stranger from heaven. A stranger who inclined to show her favor from God in such an unlikely place where men like you and me are not there. Her fellow human beings were not there, but God was there. God is always there when there's life to keep. God was there. Psalm 8 verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? God cares about each and every one of us' lives. Let me close like this, my friends. Although man's plan is to get rid of the unborn baby, but God's plan is to keep the baby. Although people may say nobody have realized, nobody noticed that you have conceived. Although people may even go and say, you know what? What you have conceived will inconvenience you in this lacquer life that you want to live. But God says, actually, I know. And I can tell you, this life will not inconvenience you. This life is bringing a blessing upon you. Friends, God cares about the life of the conceived, the life of the pregnant woman, and life in general. The babies must be taken care of. The pregnant women as well must be taken care of. But they must take care of themselves. They must live a life to God, regardless of the difficulty of life that they are facing. Because he's God who sees. I quoted that verse, chapter 16, verse 13. Hagar says, he's God who sees. But I want you to notice in that verse, Hagar says, it's not only God who sees, I have seen the God who cares for me. That's what the Bible says. I have seen the God who cares for me. As long as you will see the God who cares for you. God sees, but do you see the God who cares for you? The God who calls you to breathe each and every day, raise you up in the morning, give you the voice to speak, give you the energy to go to work, bless you with children, bless you with everything else that you have, still having the breath that you take in this life. Have you seen the God who cares for you? Have you seen him? Church, we need to welcome those women. We must be a welcoming people. Let's welcome those women who have committed such a sinful act. Let us show them that there is life. You as well are welcome. Whatever sin you have, God is welcoming you. Let us teach the world, friends, that Hagar was born in Egypt. Why is that important? Hagar was born not a slave. Israelites were slaves in Egypt, but the Egyptians were free. Why is that important? In our country, we are a free people. We have what is called born free. But friends, we are still bound. We are slaves of sin. Hagar was a slave of sin. We are slaves to sin. For the fact that we are slaves of sin, for as long that we are slaves of sin, we must never cease to seek the God who sees, and then see the God who actually look out for us. If you have looked down on life before, perhaps you have killed, you have taken life before, you are a murderer.
But there is hope for you. Look unto Jesus. He is ready to forgive you. He says in Isaiah chapter number 1 verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they may be like scarlet, red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. They shall become as wool." Friends, confess your sin to God. Be real in your confession. Mean what you say. Repent from your wicked ways. And all your criminal records will be wiped clean. And all your charges awaiting you beyond the grave will be cancelled in Christ Jesus. You will be set free. Why? When the Son sets you free, you are free. We are free indeed. If you have never killed, we have never taken life, continue to cherish life. We are faithfully and wonderfully made. God cares. We must care. The Lord bless us. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. Even this morning, for using your servant to speak your words. May your word, O God, sink deep in the hearts of your people. May we all, Father, care and cherish life like you. May we teach our neighbors, our friends and families that life is important before you. In Jesus' name I pray this. May your word go in power and convict the hearts, that we may all come to our Master, returning back to you, O God, in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We ask, O God, that his name may save us, because it's the name above every other name. It is the power of salvation. May we be cleansed, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen.